Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Wild Ginger Running YouTube channel, live broadcast and podcast. Today we are talking to book authors Jen and Sim Benson about their latest book, Smart Running. How are you today, guys?
Thank you, good to see you.
Yeah, excellent, thank you.
Good. And before we get going, we just got to do a quick shout out to our sponsors. It's NAC Sports Nutrition. They make energy bars, waffles, energy and recovery powders, and real food purees in pouches, and coming soon, energy bars. So that will be very interesting. I used the chocolate and peanut butter bar and salted caramel waffle on my latest ultra, which was a Coventry Way 40 miler last month. Both were really delicious. So if you want to give them a try, use my code WILDGINGERRUNNING for 15% off at uk.nac.com. So, Jen and Sim, thank you so much for coming on the show to launch your latest new amazing book. I have been flicking through my preview copy and just thinking, wow, this is such a useful book. Like, I'm just thinking you're putting many coaches out of business by writing this absolutely incredible, all-encompassing book. I'm just thinking, though, you've written other books as well. How, amongst the other books that you have written, how hard or easy was this latest one by comparison?
Very different, I think. It's actually the 10th anniversary this week of our first book coming out, which is Wild Running, and quite a lot of our previous books were kind of guidebooks. So it was a lot of traveling around the country, taking photos, posing a lot, that kind of thing.
Lovely.
Whereas, yeah, this one was a lot more research and like drawing on years of learning and university stuff and. Yeah, that kind of thing. So it's quite a different process, I think.
Yeah, it almost feels like it's our whole life we've been writing this book, even though we've only known we've been writing it for the last couple of years.
Yeah, so it's kind of like accumulation of all your, excuse me, your gradual sort of, your coaching qualifications, your experience in the mountains, your delving into trail and ultra running and all of those things. So was it easy to write then? Like, how on earth did you get the time? Because you've obviously got your two kids playing in the garden just now. How did you carve out those little moments and divide the book up between you?
I think dividing it up, my background, I started off as a biomechanics podiatrist and then did sports medicine for a master's degree, both of which specialising in distance running. And now I'm doing a PhD part-time also in distance running. So for me, I definitely focus on the science side of stuff and love all that, love research, love all the papers and kind of making science a bit more, you know, taking the stuff that's written by scientists for scientists and making it more accessible to, you know, anyone who wants to read it, really. So that was kind of my passion. And then
I'm total gear geek, and like routes and maps and things like that make me very excited. So I took the lead on the gear review, the gear section. This is sort of how to choose stuff, and also we'd sort of combined our experience in how to find routes and things like that, because we tried to include as much as we could, like a really wide range in the book. And then we both read each other's bits and commented and stuff. So it was quite a backwards and forwards process between the two of us.
Yeah. And lots of very early mornings as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, really. So is that how it worked? Like, you were writing early in the morning? Because I know, like, Jasmine Paris, for example, gets up really early to do her training for, like, a couple of hours. So for you, instead of doing the training, were you writing the book, or were you, like, one of you was writing the book, one of you was out training, and the kids were playing in the garden?
I think we tend to write early. I definitely write best first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And then training can happen later. We can kind of juggle stuff later. But yeah, I know if I can get a couple of hours first thing, then that's done.
Yeah.
But it definitely grabbed the time whenever it sort of presents itself. I was sitting watching our kids go to fencing each week, and say I've got 45 minutes, and I was proofreading while they were fencing.
That's brilliant. Yeah, you've just got to take every amount of little bit of time that you can, don't you? And so the book is called Smart Running. And it's amazing the amount of accessible science that you've managed to get into this quite, it's not like War and Peace. It's really very manageable book, and it's cut down into really nice chunks. But can I just ask you, for anybody who's not familiar with the book, what do you mean by the concept of smart running? Because I know from reading the book, it's not all about just the training aspect. I loved how you just included so many different things. What does smart running mean to you guys?
Kind of anti-fad. Yeah, there are so many fads, so many influences. Like, it can be quite, you're just bombarded by information all the time. And for us, it was about being smart, being, you know, a bit picky about who you listen to, about what information you take on board. And that it's, you know, it is fairly simple. there's nothing complicated, there's nothing faddy about it. And the science kind of backs that up. So I think it's just kind of, just going on the evidence and just the old fashioned way of. Of getting out running regularly and doing that consistently, fueling appropriately for your training and that kind of thing. And it's really not that complicated, but I think it can come across as confusing when you don't know who to listen to. So yeah, I think it's kind of just getting back to the basics and being smart about your training, because everyone's limited in time. You've got kids, you've got jobs and that kind of thing. So just being smart about who you listen to and the information that you take on board, I think.
Yeah, and being being very individual, because we've tried to think about sort of like your running is your running, so it's about you at this stage of your life, whether like whatever age that is, whatever gender that is, whatever your specific sort of aims for running, and therefore looking at the information for that's really relevant to you at that point. So. Because there's lots of sort of very random studies that might not actually really be effective to you at all. So we tried to cut through that a bit.
Yeah, I do like that idea, because I know this is not like directly relevant. You may have covered this in the book, but just recently I've become increasingly bothered by the amount of different milks that are on offer, and I just don't know which one is A, the best for the environment, B, the best for my health, C, the best for the health of my child, and D, is recyclable. Just the fact that you've just said that smart running is like just cutting out all the noise and who to listen to. This is like a really trustworthy book. I really like that you've done that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And if you do have any advice on what milks to drink, then please do let me know.
It's a minefield.
What milks do you personally drink?
Well, we can get oat milk in a glass bottle. Feels like quite a good one.
Wow.
But yeah. I think also it's not just, it's like avoiding the stuff with all the additives in. So like loads of it's got emulsifiers and all that kind of stuff. So avoiding that, I reckon. Oat milk, oats grow really easily. So in terms of like pesticides and that kind of thing, that feels like a good option. But also not being rigid, like having a bit of cow's milk is probably a good thing sometimes, having a bit of oat milk, but not being too reliant on one source probably is good as well. And I like the glass bottles because we just rinse them and return them, and that works.
That's really nice. Yes. Oh, well, maybe I should just go through like a 1 week I buy milk, 1 week I buy rice milk, coconut milk, almond milk, oat milk, pea milk, whatever types of milk there is. Yeah. And the other week I found some old breast milk in the freezer, but that was a bit old, so I maybe won't use that. So I just like to read you one of for the live comments, which is very lovely. It's from Andrea. She says, hello, I need to do more than just flick through my copy of Smart Running because it does look good. She's just got a copy for herself. When she heard you were coming on, she bought it. And Lisa Mason as well says that she has got the book and she's really enjoying reading it at the moment as well. So good shout outs to them. Before I'm going to ask you a few things about the actual book, in a minute, but I just wanted to know, personally, what was your favourite part to write? Did you have a favourite part? And then I'm going to ask you what the hardest part to write was.
I'm doing first. The training plans. I'd possibly say it was also one of the hardest parts to write.
You like a challenge.
But it's like there's lots of books. There's lots and lots of training plans, and if you look online there's loads of training plans, and I've tried following training plans sort of in the past from different places, and I quite often find that for whatever reason in this particular week my long run needs to be on a Thursday or my long run needs to be on a Sunday or whatever, and it's very unusual that the training plan that I can find fits with how my life works.
So
we were trying to work out how to, instead of giving training plans, having a how to build your own training plan, and I'm quite pleased with how it worked in the end, but it was quite confusing. It took us quite a long time to try and work out how to not just make it even more confusing than it sort of could have been to begin with.
Yeah, like what building blocks do you need in place for that?
Yeah. And also just really getting my head around exactly what all the different training sessions are and why you would use them, because to be able to put them in the book we had to be really sure what we were doing. So that was interesting, and Jen led it, to be honest, on that, but I loved it. I think it's really helped my running since we...
Yeah, and I do really think this is the one of the unique aspects that sets the book apart. Is that was my next question after what's the hardest part of writing it. I've put, is it possible to build yourself a personal training plan just by reading your book? Because there's a personal training plan builder in there. And that was one of my favourite bits too. And I do need to go back and read it again so that I can build myself a training plan. Because I'm like struggling at the moment with like doing my ultra running training on a Sunday, like the long run on the Sunday, because obviously it's a family day and I feel like I've missed out half the day and then I'm too tired. So really, I should probably be doing it on a Tuesday where I can just sit down all day at my desk and just write stuff. So that's great to know. I think that's a really unique and brilliant part of the book. So I'm just really excited about that part. And I just want to say thank you very much for giving us the tools to build our own training plans rather than just blindly following like sheep. Was that your favourite part as well, Jen? Or did you have a different part that was your favourite bit to write?
I think I really enjoyed writing about feet. I got the opportunity to write about feet, which is quite unusual. And I started off as a musculoskeletal podiatrist, so that was kind of my degree and where I worked for a bit after that. So to actually have the opportunity to share that kind of slightly geeky passion for especially the foot mechanics, like our feet are amazing.
Yeah.
And unique. So I quite enjoyed that bit. But I'd say also the training plans were really difficult, but it was quite rewarding, you know, doing each iteration and then sending it to some people and saying, does this make sense? You know, trying to get them to work through the process of making their own training program and making sure that it was all, you know, not too complicated, but customizable. It's quite a difficult balance. So yeah, I'd agree with Sim on that as well.
Yeah. Well, I think it is brilliant. It's almost like you need to do an app as well, where you can just like move them all around on a screen. That would be handy. Just going back to the feet side of things, I haven't read the whole book yet, because there's a lot to get through and it's amazing, but I haven't read the feet bit yet. But do you cover like the old question, like barefoot running and low drop shoes? Do you cover whether that's good for a person or not? Because in anything that I say, I'm always like, oh, just be careful transitioning down to low drop shoes because of the strain of the Achilles in the calf. What's your thoughts on low drop shoes and how do they fit into a trail and ultra runner's life?
I think with low drop shoes, there are two things really. One is the terrain you're running on. So if you imagine our feet are designed, have evolved to run on soft surfaces. So on a soft surface, when you, like if you walk across a beach or run across a beach, you'll notice that the forefoot sinks in more than the heel does. And that happens if you're walking and running. So that's kind of our natural foot position. Like the forefoot being slightly lower than the heel is our natural foot position, and it's called the windlass mechanism, where our big toe pushes up and it tightens up onto fascia, and that's how our foot works. So we need a bit of a drop, and that's how on soft ground with bare feet, our feet would work naturally. The trouble with low drop shoes, if you're running on the road, is that it's not allowing your foot to have that kind of heel toe forefoot drop. So that can be a problem. It's not a problem for everyone. So people with a lot of flexibility or very little flexibility tend to struggle with shoes the most. So there's a bunch of people in the middle, like Sim, who can wear any shoe and it doesn't bother them at all. But a lot of people who either have a lot of like hypermobile people, a lot of flexibility, especially women, maybe women who've had babies, you know, we tend to have more ligamentous laxity, more joint laxity throughout our bodies. So wearing anything like even a super shoe with lots of cushioning, lots of instability, or wearing a low drop shoe can be more of a problem. Or if you're someone with very little flexibility, so people with very tight Achilles tendons and calves, you then go into a low drop shoe, that can be a problem. So it's like so many things, we're all individual and it's a very individual thing. But I think you're totally right. If you want to try that, you need to do it gradually, especially if you've been in a shoe with more of a drop. So yeah, it depends. Usual answer.
Yeah, it depends who you are. I think I fall into the hypermobile category, so yes, that explains why I am quite sensitive to shoes. I wish I was you, Sim. And so you are both coaches yourself, and you're like eminently qualified. But who inspires you in the coaching world? I was wondering if you draw any inspiration from any of the coaches out there.
Yeah, I was actually inspired to coach in the first place by Kim Cavill. So I listened to a podcast with Kim, and I was sort of umming and ahhing, and like, do I go for it? Because it's quite a big jump, isn't it, to get into coaching people. It's this relationship where you're telling people what to do, and it feels like quite a lot of responsibility. And yeah, I was a bit nervous about taking that leap. And I heard a podcast with Kim, and she was just so down to earth, and I loved her approach. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to do it. So she was my inspiration in the first place. I also quite like Jason Koop's podcast, because I love that science side of things, and the fact he does get like really eminent researchers and like the top people in the science side of stuff on. So I like his stuff as well. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome. We'll all follow them now as well.
Yeah. I don't know if I like particularly anyone really. I follow quite a lot of them, like quite a lot of coaches, and I quite like reading sort of almost everything that everyone says, and then, but then trying to decide whether I agree and just take the bits that I think sound good effectively and listen. And then like, it's nice that we're both got coach qualifications, and we both do it. Like, we don't coach individually. We have a few coaching clients that we do, but it's very nice to be able to sort of chat between us. And before we sort of decide what we're going to suggest.
Yeah, we offer quite, like Sim can offer the how to do navigation and what kit and stuff. And I do the general day-to-day plans and coaching and things. So we kind of a bit of a double act with the coaching.
Oh, I see. So that if you sign up for coaching with you guys, you'll get both of you, two heads are better than one. Oh, that's another amazing, unique aspect.
And it does also mean, like, if we get a, if we've got a, a female client, then Jen can lead it, and if we've got a male client, I can lead it if that feels sort of useful, and if there's sort of any, like, we're more likely to have direct experience in whatever issue or problem or goal that someone wants to achieve. So it does feel like a bit of an advantage.
Yeah, it's really cool. I've not heard of coaches working like that before, so that's really awesome. I know that, you know, when Scott Jurek wrote his book North, Jenny Jurek wrote like every other chapter about the support team, and I thought that was really good, because so many of these books just focus on the athlete doing the thing, and it's like, well, they wouldn't be able to do the thing if there wasn't all these people hanging around giving them burritos. So I thought that was good. So this is brilliant. So do you coach each other then? Like, do you have a separate coach? How does it work with your own training? Because you're both like really good at running, aren't you? Did you do the Arc of Attrition 50? Did you, or was it the 100? You did the 100. Yeah, sorry. Of course you did the 100, and that's incredible. I couldn't even manage the 50. You're doing brilliantly. So yeah, who coaches you?
No one at the moment. So it is something that we're so immersed in, and I've thought about it a few times, but just finding like someone who could work around our ridiculously busy, unconventional lifestyle, I think would be tricky. You know, it would be very hard to follow a set plan or to try and let someone know what we were doing the next week. So at the moment, I think we've both been doing it a while and it works quite well, I think, just to. And we can always bounce ideas off each other and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so you're like your own coaches and yeah.
And we have quite sort of random running goals as well. Like we might be trying to hit a marathon PB or finish 100 or do a 20K sky race or a gravel bike ride or something. Like, it's all quite sort of chop and change. So, you know, it would be quite hard to find a coach that you could really build a long-term relationship and could cover all the things that we really want to do. So
yeah, because you've done triathlons, haven't you, and Ironmans and like ultras, adventure racy type things, and so much stuff. And where are you based these days? Because I first came across you guys when you messaged me about doing the routes for Trail Running Magazine, which was absolutely fantastic. And you were you living in a yurt for a year off grid with two tiny children?
It was a bell tent, but yeah.
Yeah. So where are you based nowadays?
We're near Bath now, so it's nice to. I still appreciate having the four walls and the running flats and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was like 10 years ago, so it's good to still be in a house.
Yeah.
Yeah, so unconventional, but not too unconventional.
Yeah.
And how does it work with the kids? Are they at school or are they homeschooled, or like, what? How do you work your work around them?
Well, we've homeschooled so far, but our eldest is going to start school in September because she wants to.
Which is,
I think
she's just about to be a teenager, so it's definitely time to get
her. Awesome.
Yeah. So that's going to be a bit of a lifestyle change for us a little bit. But our son's going to carry on homeschooling. He's 3 years younger than our daughter. So up until now, we've been fully homeschooled, but because we both do this, we're both self-employed, we write books, we write for magazines and papers and coach and stuff like that. So we tend to have deadlines, but not like, or we have deadlines, but it's nothing like, we don't have to be 9 to 5 ever, almost, really. We will work hard whenever there's a time when we can work hard, and we take it in turns with the sort of homeschooling, and whether that's work with the kids or going out and doing stuff with the kids, and whether it's our own training or our own work, it's all just, there isn't a massive amount of proper structure, I guess. But it sounds
wonderful. I think I would have loved being your child.
Make the most of it all the time.
Yeah.
They seem to be doing fine.
Yeah. It's hard work though, isn't it?
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I can't wait for Philly to go to school. Like, you go. I'll just do my own work here.
So, I think that's the benefit of sharing it. I think
I
tend to do the mornings and do the kind of academic stuff, and by lunchtime I'm ready to hand them over.
For PE.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like a great arrangement. Fantastic. All credit to you. And obviously you've done a lot of running races yourselves and you're really good athletes yourselves, but is there anybody in the running world, like maybe the trail running world or the ultra running world, who has really inspired you that is like an elite athlete, not a coach? Or maybe they're both.
It's got to be Courtney for me.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. What's inspirational to you about her?
Just her whole approach, actually. I was lucky enough to interview her fairly recently for a new book project, and she's just you've interviewed her as well, haven't you? She's just so down to earth, there's no ego, and yet she's so amazing at running, and she's just endlessly enthusiastic, smiley, jokes. And I also like that she doesn't go with any of the latest fads. She just does what she does, and she trains intuitively, and I really like that approach, just being, you know, just listening to your body, and like, she gets up. If she feels like training hard, she trains hard. If she feels like having a rest day, she has a rest day. And I think if you have the luxury of being able to do that, then that's the way forward, isn't it? And and I like the way she doesn't get involved in like online arguments or anything. It's just she just is who she is, and I really like that approach. And plus, she's amazing at running.
Yeah, she just seems really pure and focused, doesn't she? And like, just everything will just slide off her, like any like turmoil in the world. It's like, yeah, well, I'm just going for a run in my amazing shorts. Yeah, she's really cool. I've got a friend who I think looks really like Courtney. And I spend time with her every Monday because we have our boys together on the Monday. I'll just be talking to her and I'll just be like, oh, she's really good at running as well. And I'm just like, oh my God, do I tell her how much she looks like Courtney? Because she probably won't think she does look like Courtney. Maybe I'll send you guys a picture of her and you can tell me whether she looks like Courtney or not. Sorry, that was a bit of random non sequitur there. So, Sim, for you, do you have anybody that you just hold, you know, in quite high esteem, or has inspired you to do anything, or you just look up to in the running world?
Seems a bit obvious, but Killian's pretty amazing, isn't he?
Yeah. Courtney, Killian, good choices, guys.
Yeah, well, it's like, I felt a bit silly, but I really like his, like, he's obviously amazing and has been groundbreaking and like for ages. But I like his like he, and also like very lucky in a way. But he, like, it seems to be that he just absolutely loves it, and he loves everything about it, and he like his whole like everything in it, and it's like. Like, he's obviously done well out of it, and he's sort of benefited from it and stuff. But it's sort of just because he loves it, and he's put everything into it, and he obviously works incredibly hard. But like all his mountain stuff as well as his race stuff, I really like. And the fact that you see him, he's like, I'm just having a normal week, and I've done a 10-hour run around some like really hard mountains.
He's so nonchalant, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think that's I actually think it's really cool. So him, and maybe Joss Naylor as well, from the like other end of totally down to earth and nails.
Yeah, totally legendary trail runner.
absolutely loves it as well. And he's like, he's out there. He's still like still goes out and just claps at the end of with his dogs. And he stood at the end of the fell race clapping and just happy to chat and stuff. And I think that's quite cool.
Yeah, that's totally cool, isn't it? Yeah, well, they were brilliant. They're brilliant choices, definitely. Massive fans of both of them myself. The next question really doesn't follow on from here. But I wanted to talk a little bit about nutrition and strength work, because obviously they're mentioned in the book. I just wondered, because when we think of training, we often just think of the actual running, don't we? So I was obviously pleased, obviously, in the book that there's loads of things on like how to lace the shoe if you know, getting shoe problems. There's loads of things about like repairing the gear, washing the gear, all that side of thing. But food-wise, how important is nutrition like for trail and ultra runners? Because I think often we take a bit of a blasé approach to food and we're just like, oh, well, we'll just eat a packet of Jelly Babies, perhaps, or maybe order a pizza halfway around. Should we be a bit more bothered about the food side of things as trail and ultra runners, do you think?
I think food's super important. And when it comes to fueling for training and for racing, and especially like long-term, you know, running's a long-term project, isn't it? So how we fuel every day is, you know, what makes or breaks us. And when it comes to fueling, we need sufficient energy to cover our exercise and everything else that we do and our like basic metabolic functions. So we need enough energy to fuel all those things. And then we need enough nutrients to, you know, keep us healthy and functioning properly. And those are basically, that's what food is, isn't it? It's the nutrients to keep us healthy and the calories to keep us going. And yet beyond that, it feels so complicated, doesn't it? Because there's within those things, there's so much choice and there's so much advice and there's, you know, all these phases and fads and things that come and go.
Tell me about it. So many myths to bust, isn't there?
Yeah. And then there's the ethical side of things and animal welfare, and you know, our son's a pretty passionate vegetarian, but he's also passionate about organic food, because if you spray stuff all over the fields and you kill all the insects, then that's not really vegetarian, is it?
So he's
quite militant.
Yeah. So has he like got an allotment down the garden, growing his own veg?
Well, he tends snails and slugs in the garden, so there's not much chance of anything else growing.
Well, and he can't eat the snails either, because he's a vegetarian.
So I think within that, just, I do think ultra processed foods are really bad news for us. You know, they override our ability to know when we've had enough to eat, and they do unknown stuff to our bodies, like gut microbes and stuff. So I think if it's very easy to say cook everything from scratch, but you know, if you can do that as much as you can, you know, I think it's time consuming and stuff, but it's worth it, because then you know what's going into the food and things. So basically enough energy and enough nutrients, and those are the basic rules. And then beyond that, it's what matters to you, what you like, and what the kids will eat.
Have you got, is there recipes in the book? Sorry, I haven't read the whole nutrition section. Are there a few recipes in the book, or like how have you gone about advising on the nutrition side of things?
We've just been fairly factual, really. We haven't included recipes. With our coaching clients, we have some experts that we work alongside. So Renee McGregor, we work with. So if anyone wants some more specific nutrition information, we can send them to Renee. And obviously she's got some great books with recipes in and things. So we tend to, like, we've got loads of recipe books and we tend to just dive in and see what we fancy doing. So no, there isn't anything specific in the book, but there's guidance on how to go about it, really.
Yeah, I've just I just ordered the book Ultra Processed People myself, because a friend of mine from Running Club's reading it, and I thought, oh, I really need to get on board with this. And yeah, I think I'm going to be eating a lot more sweet potatoes.
Yeah, if you read the like read the ingredients on everything, and it's like there's so much stuff in so many things, and it's changed as well over the last 10 years. Like things that used to just maybe have butter or margarine or something in, like however bad margarine is, it's like now those aren't there, but there are other things, and it's just like, I don't know, read it, and if you don't know what it is, look up what it is, and then decide whether you want to eat that or not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of sad that it takes so much work, doesn't it, to like A, fit exercise into our busy lives these days, and B, like just look at everything you're eating all the time. It's like, oh my goodness, it says it's convenience food, but is it convenient? It's not actually convenient. It's actually killing me.
But maybe if you did that, if you did, like, if you read everything for 6 months or something, then you're probably pretty well versed in, and it's a bit of a project, but then carry on and it's fine.
And then you'll know, and then you can carry on. Yeah, okay, oh, that sounds a lot more doable. and how important is strength work in all of this? Because every single coach that I talk to on these chats is always... they always say, especially when you get to like my age, like getting above 40, strength work is a real big deal. So how did you approach that part of the book?
I think I was really keen that it was approachable for people who don't have access to a gym. Because in an ideal world, you go to a gym, if you want to do, like there are pros and cons of heavy lifting or not heavy lifting, and some people are very keen on heavy lifting, and that's fine, that's great, it's not going to do any harm, but you don't need to do heavy lifting.
Oh, that's a relief.
As long as you approach it in the right way. So if you've got that gym access and you've got access to somebody who can guide you with heavy lifting, brilliant. But this, I wanted to stick to home-based exercises that anyone can do, even when the kids are about, you know, it's something that's a bit more achievable for more people. And so I've used quite a lot of and plyometrics type work, because then you're using gravity and body weight in place of the heavier weights. And that's really effective and also mirrors how we use our muscles and joints during running.
Mm, and it's also really fun as well. Like I was doing frog leaps across the kitchen. Yeah. And I was like, this is really fun. I think Finley would like doing this.
Exactly. You can get them involved, and doing squat jumps whilst holding them is quite a good one.
Oh yeah, especially if it's 15 kilograms or something these days.
Yeah,
and yours would be even harder. Yours would be very heavy weights.
I just wanted to keep it really, really applicable to running as well. So how we use our bodies during running, and I think not just doing everything in the like sagittal plane, so like forward and backward movement, but also taking things. So one of my favourite exercises is the round the clock lunges. So you do a lunge like to like 12 o'clock and then, you know, all the way around, so that you're getting that movement through the hip joint and your muscles working in all those different directions. And that's something especially for off-road running that's really, really helpful. And some single leg stuff as well, which builds balance and proprioception and that kind of thing, as well as strength. So it's kind of focusing on not too many things, because it's so easy to get overwhelmed and you haven't got time to do 100 exercises.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to keep it nice and simple, really applicable to running, stuff you can do at home, harnessing gravity and your body weight rather than needing weights specifically. So I think, agreed. Like as soon as you hit 40, it's like everything starts rattling.
Yeah.
And I'm 45 now and I've definitely found, as long as I do, like, I have to do a little bit every day, really, and that keeps everything happy.
So, yeah. Would you just pick one from the book each day to do then?
I tend to do probably 3 or 4 a day, and then try and work through the whole lot over the course of a week, just to keep it interesting and to work different things.
Yeah. For me, I find I'm not very good at doing it every day, so I don't know why. I should be. But I found that like a 20-minute session 3 times a week for me seems to work. And then I pretty much do everything in the book. And we've got like a barbell with a couple of weights. So I just do a little bit of like weighted squats and a couple of extra things like that. But it's less than 20 minutes for a session. And like I'll go out for a run and then I'll come back and do that.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Or I'll go on like something like even just a sort of fast dog walk or something, and then come back and do that. And I find that for me, like just having free sessions rather than trying to do it specifically each day works better. And I think probably, I don't know, I don't really know whether it's better or worse, but it,
I think you're just getting it done, aren't you? Yeah.
When I was 30, I was like totally bomb-proof and I'd just like jump off stuff and stuff. But yeah, I'm 40 now and I definitely, things like I just don't recover as quick. And like if I do a hard race or like a, just a hard run where I've been running fast downhill or something like that, then I'm properly hobbling for a few days. And I found that like doing this strength work really does help that. And it just means I'm a little bit more resilient again. It's sort of taken 10 years.
Yeah. No, that's really good. We're just future-proofing ourselves, aren't we? And that's nice. It's nice that like one of you likes to do a few every day and the other one likes to do a 20-minute session because it's, you know, it's different for different people, different strokes for different folks. And I really liked the habits and the goal setting section as well. And I particularly liked the fact that you just need to make it really easy for the habit to form. And I also like the fact that you said habits can be good or bad, because I think a lot of people that aren't, you know, they have just getting started in running, they're like, oh, how can these people possibly like do it every day or do it every other day, and they think that you need to be fully energized and ready for it to go on your training run. And that sort of section just said to me, you don't have to always want to go, but it just becomes a habit and then you just do it. And I just thought it was really useful, so thanks for that.
Yeah, I think habits can be really useful for establishing a passion for something, can't they? Like you might not love it at first, especially when you're maybe building your fitness or working out routes locally, but having that habit maybe can go in place of actually enjoying it for a bit. And then after a while, you then find you are enjoying it. So you do it because you enjoy it rather than because it's a habit. But yeah, I think making it easy and making it obvious are the really key things, aren't they? So.
Yeah, and lots of celebration and smugness at the end.
Yeah.
Well, that is awesome. Well, I think the book is wonderful, and I am watching. I'm wondering. I know you've only just finished it, but what is next for you in 2024? I don't mean book-wise. Like, you're not going to birth another book in the next 6 months. But yeah, what is in store for you this coming summer? Anything exciting coming up?
We are going to birth another book.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Well, already? When did this one come out? It's only recently, isn't it?
Book bump. Yes. In April, 18th of April.
18th of April. Yeah. Okay, and you've got another one in the oven already.
Yeah. So I've got a Women in Ultra Running book.
Which
is out on the 1st of August, which has been a bit of a long-term project as well. I think because of COVID and things, we were working on all these books and they're all coming out this year.
So, wow.
Slightly embarrassed.
Awesome.
But
so
yeah,
what's that one about?
It is sort of my quest post-children to run 100 miles. And just that kind of realisation after kids that you're quite different from who you were before, but that's not necessarily in a bad way or in a, you know, it's just different, isn't it? And it's about working out who you are again. And connecting with who you were before, but also coming to terms with the new you. I'd never run 100 miles previously, and it was something I wanted to do to kind of prove to myself that I could still do hard stuff.
Yeah.
So along the way, I've talked to lots of amazing women like Courtney and Beth and Jasmine, and so it's been just an amazing project, and looking at the science and the history as well. So yeah, that's out on the 1st of August.
Oh, that sounds brilliant. I can't wait to read that one.
It's called The Path We Run.
The Path We Run. Oh, that sounds brilliant. Yes. Well, lots more books. And Sim, what's coming out from you?
I haven't got any races planned at all at the moment. Actually, we've got a trip to the Alps this summer, which we've been to the Alps for the last couple of summers for a bit, which has been amazing. I raced in the Alps last year, but I'm not racing this year. There's so much good running that I didn't want to like have a specific goal, because I want to be able to be super excited about running off in all directions every day. Although actually I find every other day works, because every day I'm broken. So I said I didn't really want anything as an actual thing. And then when we get back from the Alps, hopefully have a bit of altitude training and be fit from that, and then maybe find something. But yeah, I don't really know. I really want another crack at a marathon because I messed up that last year.
What's your marathon goal, and like how did the messing up happen?
I want to go under 3 hours.
Oh.
I got COVID and I recovered and didn't go under 3 hours.
Oh, poor you. So your sub 3 is your goal. Wow, that's incredible. Gosh.
But I also like some of the best run races I've done is like sky races and like long ultras, and I did a really cool 12K like Christmas themed race in the Brecon Beacons last year, and that was amazing. And there's a local 8 mile race in November, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just loads of fun. I just want to get out running.
Yeah, it's nice to just have no plans, isn't it? I've got one more ultra this summer, the Race of the King, and then I don't actually have any more plans to do anything particularly. So I'm just going to take a little break, and I think I'm going to work on my speed again and do some local runs and stuff like that. So yeah, I like your idea, Sim, of just enjoying life and going with the flow.
have you done Race of the King before?
No, I haven't. It'll be my first time. Have you guys done it?
I did it a few years ago before, because the course is different now than it was when they first started it.
Okay.
But it's cool. It's a really nice trail.
Yeah, it's nice. It's near where my grandma lives, so I'm going to go stay with her, and that'll be nice to see her. And she'll be like, oh my goodness, you're running 100K. She won't understand at all, but she'll love hearing about it. And on that race, I will be using NAC Sports Nutrition, because we're coming to the end of the podcast now, and I just need to do a shout out to our sponsors. I will be using the new gels, hopefully, that will have arrived. But thank you to NAC Sports Nutrition for sponsoring the live broadcast and the podcast. And if you want to try any of the energy gels on your next ultra, use code WildGingerRunning for 15% off at uk.nac.com. So just before we go, Jen and Sim, how can we follow you? And you can purchase the book by looking in the film description or the podcast show notes below, but how can we follow you? What are all your Instagram-y, website-y things?
We're at Jen and Sim on Instagram and Twitter, whatever it's called now.
I call it Twitter.
And jenandsimbenson.co.uk is our website. So mostly Instagram.
Yeah, mostly everyone is Instagramming these days, aren't they? Absolutely fantabulous. Well, it's been absolutely brilliant chatting to you both. Thank you so much for writing this absolutely wonderful book, which is going to just be our amazing coach. It's only it hasn't got a price on the back, but I'm sure it's less than getting an actual coach, so try this first. See if you can build your own training plan and do all the nutrition or do all the strength exercises in there, and then you'll be in very good stead. I think it's an absolutely fantastic book. Thank you so much for writing to it, and I'm very much looking forward to the next one.
Thank you. Really good chat. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much, Beth.
Awesome. Goodbye, everybody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.